Bibles to Proverbs chapter 31. I want to study from this chapter this morning. It is good to be back home. It's always good to get away, but it's always better, I think, to get back home. I'm thankful to Brother John Sellers and Mike Hepner for preaching and teaching my classes in my absence, and thankful that there are those two men who serve as the overseers here, but also a number of other men who are capable and willing to stand in the gap when they need to. And I'm appreciative of that, and it gives me comfort and confidence as I can go away and labor for a week in another place, knowing that things go undisturbed here while we are gone. The only thing that I can say about Bowling Green, the church there was great and the meeting went well, and I put a short report about that in the bulletin, but they sure got a lot of rain down there. I hope that wasn't the case here. I understand that it was. And Mark, I appreciate the compliment as well. I'm not very multitasked at all, so I have problems walking and chewing gum at the same time. I see myself as the one talent man, so if I can wear two hats, I appreciate that. Proverbs chapter 31. Before we begin, let's read the text that we have before us in its entirety, verses 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Few causes have been championed over the last 150 years in this world like the cause of women's rights. Even today, this cause is heard, cried for in different parts of the world. In the last 10 years that we've undergone the war on terror, and focus has been upon the Middle East and the Arab countries, we know there of the injustices that are done against women. And much has been done to bring that into focus, and the world as a whole has cried out against that. I don't know if you caught the story. I read it last week on the internet that it is now illegal in the nation of India. It is illegal for doctors to disclose to expected parents the gender of the child because female babies are being aborted. They want boys in India. Parents want boys, so much so that some will have an abortion if they are expecting a girl, or they will simply neglect the child and allow it to die. And this could be another case that's added on to so many in our world today where the cry is made out for women to be treated with dignity and basic human rights and justice. There are some in our culture today who reject the Bible because to them it seems to hold women down. They don't appreciate in the least the instructions given by the Lord for women to be in a position of submission, either in the home or in the church or in society at large. They view these restricted roles upon women, that's their view, as being unfavorable to them and unkind to them, and so the Bible as a whole is rejected. However, the truth is, if one would read the Scriptures and consider what the Lord said about women and to women, and what Paul actually said in his letters, they would realize that in contrast to its contemporaries, the Bible actually elevates women to a position and to a status unheard of and unknown in other religions 2,000 years ago and even in places today. God's ways are the best ways. We need to learn that lesson instead of being like Saul of Tarsus and kicking against the goads and going against God's arrangement. This passage that we have before us to study is a good summary of the best way for a woman to live. And I might add to that, the best way for a woman to be allowed to live. The book of Proverbs was written by Solomon to his sons, encouraging them to avoid the pitfalls of life by pursuing wisdom and a fear of the Lord. And in the beginning of the book of Proverbs, a lot of stress is placed upon them avoiding the ungodly woman. But here at the end of the book of Proverbs, a lengthy and glowing description of the godly woman is found, the virtuous wife. What I want to do, the approach that I want to take with this passage this morning, is I want us to look at some of the rights that a virtuous woman has. Some things that because she has chosen to live the way that God tells her to live in Proverbs 31, some of the things that she has a right to receive and a right to expect. So as we study this passage that often poses a challenge to women, it is going to be given to all of us and pose a challenge to all of us, not just women, but men and children as well. Number one, if I understand this passage correctly, I understand that a godly woman, a virtuous wife, has a right to be trusted. She has a right to be trusted. Look at, again at verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. No relationship between two individuals can exist and can prosper without mutual trust. The picture in this passage that we have read and that we are studying is of an industrious wife who takes care of the home while her husband is away. He can go to his place of business. He can go to work and he can turn his back upon his home and upon his family and not give it another thought. And it's not because he doesn't care. It's not because he doesn't care about what happens back at home. It's not because he doesn't love his wife or love his children, but it's because he knows that his wife is going to take care of things. His heart safely trusts in her to do the right thing. In the home, she is going to do the right thing. She is going to keep things running and keep things in order. Verse 27 of this text says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. He doesn't come home and find a dirty house full of dirty clothes and dirty dishes and a well-worn out couch and television. That doesn't mean that it's a sin for him to come home and find one thing out of place in the house. That's not what I'm suggesting. I don't believe that's what the text here is suggesting as well. Things happen. Emergencies come up. Sometimes a lot of work is there to be done. And fellas, you know, it might do us some good every once in a while to put our hand to trying some housework. It wouldn't hurt us one bit to realize the things that are done when we are away from home. But he can leave his home and he can trust his wife to take care of it. Trust his wife to take care of things at home and trust his wife to take care of the children. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. The children are going to have clothes on their backs. They're going to be fed. They're going to be watched after. They're going to be kept safe and healthy. A godly woman, a godly mother ought to be trusted by her husband to take care of the home and take care of the children and even to be responsible with the finances. Look again at verses 13 through 16. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She brings food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservant. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Notice she can be trusted even to make good business decisions outside of the home. I am not one of these among our brethren who believes that it is always wrong for a woman to have a job outside of the home. I don't believe that's the case. I believe it can be sinful, that it can be wrong, but here's a godly, virtuous woman, and she is finding business outside of the home to be involved in and to take care of. And notice, she's not neglecting the home. She's not neglecting her responsibilities in doing that. Here she can be trusted, even to invest and to make money in business outside of the home. A godly, virtuous wife can be trusted with the checkbook, can be trusted with the finances. She's not going to go out and plunge the family into bankruptcy. She can make that dollar stretch. She can be frugal. She's proven that she can be trusted in that area. Notice the text says that she willingly works with her hands, verse 13. That means that a godly woman is going to be a diligent woman. She is going to work as opposed to being lazy and being idle. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Apostle Paul warns Timothy not to support the younger widows. That is, the older widows, they are to be taken care of, but the younger widows, they need to marry because they still have a lot of life to give. And they're at a stage in life where they are active. And if they're given support, they'll involve themselves in sinful things. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house. Give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some have already turned aside to Satan. A virtuous wife, a virtuous woman can be trusted because she is diligent. She is not idle. She takes care of things while her husband is away. Love demands trust, doesn't it? Love demands trust. And a wife who has proven herself to be faithful has earned the right to be trusted by her husband. Secondly, this text tells us that a virtuous wife has the right to be honored. Notice the honor that is bestowed upon this woman throughout this chapter. Verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? Her worth is far above rubies, far above precious gems. Which would you rather have? Would you rather have a treasure chest full of gems and diamonds and gold? Or would you rather have a virtuous wife? I think for a godly man, the choice is easy. The virtuous wife. In verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She is honored because she has adorned herself with strength and with honor. She is honored as a result of her character and the reputation that she has built for herself. Verse 28 and 29, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. A godly wife and a godly mother is to be honored by her children and by her husband. Young people, how many of you honored your mother this morning when you woke up? Well, of course you did. It's Mother's Day. How many of you would do it tomorrow? And the day after that, and the day after that. God calls upon you to do so. You honor your mother. You give her that honor and that respect that is due unto her. Husbands, how often do we praise our wives? How often do we give them the respect and the honor that they deserve? Mothers and wives are not to be taken for granted, but to be appreciated. Not to be treated like a slave, but honored like a queen. Not to be spoken back to, but praised by their children. And in her husband's eyes, she excels all others. Verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gate. She's to be praised. Not because of her charm and her beauty, to whatever measure she has these attributes that is good, but that's not where her praise and her honor really is to come from. It is because of her character. It's because of her attitude. And it's because of the good works that she does. Good women sometimes are taken for granted by those who benefit from their love and their labor the most. And brethren, when we discover that we've been guilty of this sin, we'd best repent of it as soon as we can. A godly wife and a godly mother deserves to be honored. Third, this passage teaches us that, like unto honor, a godly and virtuous wife is to be respected. Verses 22 and 23, she makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. A godly woman has the right to live with dignity. This tapestry that she has for herself was a type of pillow or cushion on the bed. And the fact that she is in possession of this shows that she has had the money to spend on that. Or she has had the time and has the talent to make that for herself. It is something special that not every woman would have had. And that she clothes herself in fine linen and purple. Purple was a color of royalty in Bible times. And the fact that she's wearing fine linen and she's wearing the color purple shows that she is a woman of dignity, that she is a woman of means. And this woman, in Proverbs 31, she has the right to have these things, to possess these things, because of who she is and what she has done. There are some women who try to get these things, and it's about as fitting for them as a, how do the scriptures say, a gold of ring in the nose of a sow. It's just unfitting. It just doesn't belong. But for a godly woman, for a virtuous wife, for a loving mother, it certainly fits. Her husband benefits from her wisdom and her efforts. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Why? Well, there's any number of reasons that a man can be well known, that a man can have the respect of his peers and the respect of those in his community. But the fact that it's found right here in the context of this passage leads me to believe that it is at least in part because of his wife. Because of the kind of woman that she is. The people of that community know of the character of the woman that he is married to. And because of that, he has dignity. He has respect. But that respect needs to be given by him back unto his wife. This world gives out respect and gives out notoriety and gives out honor to some of the most undeserving people you and I have ever seen. Seems like every day I turn on the television, some entertainer is being respected by the industry. Some entertainer is being put up on a pedestal for all of us to admire. and their life is nothing but a pathetic display of sin and self-centeredness. Now, the world gives honor and respect to the wrong people for the wrong reasons. But the Bible gives it to the godly woman, to the virtuous wife. This wife, because of her character, because of the way that she lives, she has a right to rejoice. There's nothing wrong with us rejoicing in those things that are good, in those things that are honorable, and this woman has the right to do that very thing. Proverbs 31, verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. This woman, because of her foresight, because of her industrious nature, because she puts her hands to work and she takes care of her family and her household, she's prepared for the future. She'll have reason to rejoice when others are suffering want, when others are scurrying to try to find the way to provide for themselves and for their children, for their household. She'll have joy during times of hardship because she has thought ahead, because she has worked, because she has strength and she has honor. Her house is in order. Her children are taken care of. Investments have been made. There's no need for her to worry. Time may bring devastation upon others, but not upon her and not upon her household. There are many things that can bring pain and sorrow in this world. However, the woman who has diligently served the Lord and taken care of her responsibilities has earned the right to rejoice in the fruit of her labors. And let no one take that joy away from her. And finally, although it's not stated specifically, I believe this text indicates that the virtuous wife, the godly woman, has a right to feel safe and secure. In verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She's not afraid, because her family is taken care of. She, in part, has seen to that, but she's taken care of. I didn't realize it until a number of years, even after I was married. There was an older preacher friend of mine who took me aside and said, "You know, you need to realize something that most men fail to realize. And that is just how important a sense of security is to a woman." It's not as important, I think, to most of us men, because we've got this idea that we're a man and we can go out and we can make a living for ourselves and we can take care of ourselves. But to most women, there is this need to feel safe and to feel secure. My daughter, Paige, she's still a little scared of storms. When the thunder starts clapping and the lightning starts flashing around, she gets a little timid. She doesn't care much for that, but when she was little, she would be terrified of storms. And what did she do? She'd run to me. She'd run to me or to Christy because she was afraid. And she wanted to feel safe. I remember one time, I'll try not to embarrass you too bad, Paige. I remember one time when we were living in Illinois, a tornado came through, just barely touched down, but the sirens were going off all the same, and we ran down to the basement for a few minutes and then came outside and went outside with everybody else kind of looking around. Where did it go? Not Paige. She's still in the house in the doorway, her knees knocking together. She was scared. She was terrified. She wanted to feel safe. I think most women want to feel safe. Husbands, are we making our wives feel safe? Are we giving them that stability that we need to provide in our marriage and in our homes? A godly wife who has given herself to her family has the right to feel safe, to know that she is taken care of and that she is watched after. All of this is possible for this godly wife because she fears the Lord. Look down in verse 30. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You know, that's really where the book of Proverbs starts out. In Proverbs chapter 1 and at verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Proverbs starts out, "The fear of the Lord," and look at where it ends right here in verse 30. Comes full circle. It appears right here at the end of the book, tying everything together. What does it mean to fear the Lord? How do you fear the Lord? Look at this woman right here. This is what it means to fear the Lord. All of the things that she has a right to enjoy and a right to experience come about because she has the right attitude towards God. She fears the Lord. This wife is godly. She's motivated by the right attitude towards God. She works willingly. This causes her to be trusted and honored and respected. It allows her to be charitable to the poor, to be honest with the merchants, to be wise with her counsel, and to be fair with her maidservants. This chapter has brought all of these things out. She's a protector of her children and a true helpmeet to her husband. And because of this unending love and untiring effort, the Bible says that she has a right to expect some things from us. To be trusted. To be honored. To be respected and praised. To receive joy and to experience joy. And to feel safe and to feel secure. So while, after a study of this chapter, while the focus often would be placed upon women, what kind of a wife are you? What kind of a woman are you? I want to put the emphasis on the rest of us. How are we treating our wife? How are we treating our mother? How are we treating the godly women in our lives? Are we giving them what the Bible says they have a right to expect? I think all of us have been challenged by a short study of this passage this morning, regardless of where we find ourselves, being the woman in this chapter, being a woman who needs to become what is read of in this chapter, being a child of a godly mother, or being the husband of a virtuous wife. I think we've all been challenged here, and we all have something that we can take away from a study of this text. Maybe you're here this morning and you are not yet a Christian, not yet a child of God. Now, today is a day that unfortunately many churches across this country have chosen to honor mothers. I've even seen it on signs out in front of church buildings, and maybe you have as well. Come honor mother with us this Sunday. Let it never be said that the Lord's church honored anyone other than God on the Lord's day. But in honoring God and in respecting His Word, honor should be given to those who should receive it, including godly mothers and good fathers, and the list could go on. But let's talk about what is most important, and that is your fellowship with God, or lack thereof. Maybe you're not yet a Christian, and you realize with a short study like this that really God's way is best, and that you need to submit to His will for your life. And it needs to start by you becoming a Christian first. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're well on your way, but you're not there yet. You need to repent. Turn your life in obedience unto Him. You need to confess with your mouth that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you need to be baptized, buried with Christ in baptism, to have your sins washed away, to rise up to walk in newness of life, as one who has been born again as a child of God. You know, we would love to help you with that, if that's your desire this morning. We'd love to hear your confession of faith and assist you in your baptism. Maybe you've done that in the past, but you've become unfaithful to the Lord. Maybe in the realm of your marriage or your home, as we've talked about in our study this morning, you need to repent and make things right. And if it's of such a nature, you need to make it right publicly. We'd be glad to assist you and help you as well. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be known by coming and meeting me right up here at the front as together we stand and sing this.